This is Steve Sherlock with another internet radio show, or podcast, number 94 in the series for Franklin Matters. This is the second of an 8-part audio series that was recorded during the informational session on the new high school. The forum was conducted by the school building committee and held at the Horace Mann Auditorium on Thursday, November 17th, 2011. This second segment picks up with school building committee chair Tom Mercer introducing Jim Jordan, partner and owner of AI3 Architects. Jim introduces members of his team and then gets into some of the background information on his firm, how they have worked at designing schools, and how the MSBA developed the model school program. There is an additional 5% reimbursement available from participation in the model school program, and that is of key significance to the Franklin voters. Whitman Hansen, in particular, was the facility that AI3 designed that serves as one of the 4 model schools and the 1 model that Franklin has chosen. Some facts revealed by Jim during his segment. The model proposed will include an 850-seat auditorium. Educational space versus non-educational space is defined. December 9th is the due date for the project scope and budget package that will be submitted to MSBA, which will include the first real dollars associated with the total project that we can work with. 60% construction documents are due approximately in April of 2012. There will be 6 cost estimates done and validated at 3 different times along the way. And if all things work out properly, construction could begin in the fall of 2012. So without further ado, here's the recording from Thursday evening, November 17th.
But at this point, I'd like to have Jim Jordan from the architectural firm AI3 come up and go over the Whitman Hansen School for you.
Thank you, Tom. My name is Jim Jordan, and
that's coming in and out.
Right here. My name is Jim Jordan, and I'm a partner and owner with AI3 Architects. With me tonight, as Tom mentioned, is Andrew Chagnon. He's our civil engineer. He's also leading the landscape architectural design group in his firm, and we've been working exclusively with Andrew and Parr Corporation on all the previous models that we've produced over the last 5 years. My company, AI3, has been exclusively designing public K-12 educational facilities for the last 13 years. My partners and I have collaborated on educational facilities for over 17 years. AI3 has designed about 1.5 million square feet of educational space in the last 5 years. That's more than any other New England architectural design firm in the educational field. So we feel we come to the table here in Franklin promoting a very tested model school in Whitman Hansen, which we'll talk about in detail a little bit later, and have the ability to adapt that to specifically meet the needs of the Franklin High School educational program that we'll also talk about a little bit later. You probably have a lot of questions about the model school program, what it is, and I think Tom made a good point that you have to be invited into that program based upon your review of a lot of other options that were done here by another architectural firm before we came on board. As the MSBA sees it, the model school program began in about 2008, and we were the first architects to really work within that program guideline with the MSBA and really formulate the process from that point moving forward with them. The first model based on Whitman Hansen was the Norwood High School, which just recently opened. The model school program seeks to effectively adapt and reuse the design of successful recently completed elementary, middle, and high schools. Model schools are efficient in the design and easy to maintain. They contain optimal classroom and science lab space, and they can easily accommodate higher or lower enrollment projections based on the district that adopts the model school. Here in Franklin, your model school and your space summary program, you have about 1,650 students that will be designed for this high school, and it will be the largest high school in the model school program, so we have to adapt upwards of what we originally designed in the Whitman Hansen project. districts participating in the model school program, it's important to note you receive 5% more reimbursement points by being invited into that program. So that's a big incentive for districts. One of the other unique things about participation in the model school program, it will allow Franklin to streamline the construction process by simplifying the design phase, lowering design fees, and increasing accountability of the contractors. It also reduces uncertainties in the construction phase, including fewer change orders, as well as cost projections. It also lessens the impact on students, staff, and neighbors by shortening the construction period by about the construction phase for any one of our models is about 24 months, and if you would do a renovation addition, it could be anywhere from 3 years to 3.5 years. So the impact to the students is far less by going into the model school program or a new school project. Whitman Hansen obviously wasn't designed as a model school. We designed that project back in 2003, worked on it exclusively for about a year in the design phase, and it was our goal to make that project the most educationally advanced green school, sustainable high school in New England. Whitman Hansen received more grants and rebates than any other school in its history, and since that point in time, no other school has come close to the rebates that were received by Whitman Hansen. It was in excess of $1 million in grants and rebates and incentives that project received. Whitman Hansen was the top performer in a green school pilot program that was started back in 2003 and sponsored by the Massachusetts Technology Collaborative, which is the MTC. Out of 8 projects that were invited into that program, Whitman Hansen was the top performer based on its educational design, its green strategies, and its sustainable items that were included in the design. It was clearly above the rest of the high schools that were in that project and that program. Our model high schools are tracking about $212 to $214 a square foot. We're seeing a slight escalation in that cost, but not tremendously over that, and that's just for building construction costs. It doesn't include site costs or total project costs. That's just for construction of the building. One thing I wanted to talk about before we go into detail and plans and elevations, we brought views of the existing Whitman Hansen High School project. And there's 2 boards here that you could see what the potential is when your school is designed and what these spaces could look like. Obviously, the Whitman Hansen school is about 5 years old now. Just drawing some comparisons between your program and Whitman Hansen, your existing high school, as Tom said, is 312,571 square feet. Your educational program that was approved by the state is 306,543 square feet. If you were to just design a custom school according to the state guidelines, they would only allow a maximum of 267,300 square feet. So just by going into the model program, you automatically get more square footage. Some of the comparisons, the general classrooms, the existing high school has about 52 classrooms. The new high school that we're proposing has 58 classrooms. Your science labs range from about 1,270 square feet per lab, and some are a little bit smaller than that. The new model science labs will be larger than that. They're about 1,440 square feet. So they recognize that as the programs expanded over the years, they've actually increased their square foot requirements so that it allows safer environments for students working in a lab session. As Tom mentioned earlier, the classroom space or the educational space in the existing facility is about 69,085 square feet. In the new facility, it equates to about 82,770 square feet. The existing high school obviously doesn't have an auditorium. We showed you a few pictures here of what the Whitman Hansen auditorium would look like, and obviously we're going to incorporate as part of the Franklin High School a new 850-seat auditorium, which will look very similar to the Whitman Hansen auditorium that we have up here tonight. The square footage for that space is about 9,400 square feet. So although we're about 6,000 square feet smaller than the existing high school is here, as you can see in the floor plans, the building's designed in a much more compact, efficient manner. And you can't design a school more efficiently than with a circulation pattern of like a donut around an interior courtyard space. Once you do that, you tremendously increase the efficiency within the building so that you could add more educational space while saving more space and not using as much space as you normally would for circulation and non-educational space. Your existing high school is a very inefficient layout by today's standards, and making this more compact, tight building, we can actually turn more space over to educational space. And the MSBA actually has a formulation, a grossing factor, it's called, for what their recommended size is and what that grossing factor should be. And that really determines the efficiency of educational space versus non-educational space. And we've maximized that and exceeded it in certain instances, which is why we could report that although you have 6,000 square feet less than the existing high school, you have more educational space. So we'll be talking a little bit about that. The existing classrooms in the high school, their sizes range from 750 square feet to 775 square feet. The minimum size for the classrooms in the new high school will be 830 square feet. So they're much larger. Students have more space. They can easily accommodate up to 24, 25 students per classroom or more if you need to exceed those with increased enrollments as they come up. As far as where we are in the design process, this on December 9th, we're going to submit our first package to the MSBA, the first official package, and that's called the Project Scope and Budget Package. We're going to have a number of drawings that will be given to a cost estimator. We'll have floor plans, elevations, a lot of exterior engineering will be done by Andrew and his group, landscape drawings, civil and site drawings, etc. Those drawings will be estimated by not only our cost estimator, but also Daedalus has a cost estimator, so we're going to have a design estimate done and an owner's project manager's estimate done. There'll be a reconciliation process to ensure that both estimators are looking at the same items and attributing similar costs to those items. And then the estimation reconciliation process usually takes about 2 to 3 weeks. Once the estimates are like within 1% of each other, they're submitted to the MSBA along with a list of value engineering items to bring the project further under budget. From that point, we move into construction documents. And the next submittal will be a 60% construction document submittal, which will be due in April 20th. From that point, we'll do more cost estimating. There'll be another two estimates done similar to the first process I described. After that, on July 13th, there'll be a 90% construction document submittal package going into the state. And again, that'll be estimated by our cost estimator and the owner project manager's cost estimator, and more reconciliation will be done in value engineering items. In essence, you're going to have six cost estimates performed on this project at three different points, critical points in the design process. And hopefully, if everything goes well, on August 10th, we'll release bid documents for the contractor to start, hopefully, construction on the new high school in the fall of 2012. Some of the things that we've been working on aggressively these past few weeks and months was a lot of site investigation. There was a full geotechnical investigation done, which included about 38 core borings to identify the subsurface materials on the site. And there's about two well monitoring stations that identify the height of the groundwater. So that information is ongoing, but we did receive a preliminary memo from Andrew and his group. And the early indications are that the site is an excellent site to use and assume the use of shallow foundations and footings. So we're not looking at any increased cost for any geopiles or geopiers or rammed aggregate piers or anything exotic like that, which we have encountered on past projects. So that hopefully will save some cost in the site development phase of the project. We also performed, through the owner's project manager, a previous firm did a phase one environmental study. So that's concluded. Park Corporation has performed a traffic analysis, and there is a draft report out there that we presented to the committee this past Monday. There's been a hazardous materials survey and testing done at the existing high school, and all the materials that need to be identified for abatement and removal have been identified, quantified, and a cost has been placed on those, and the report for that has been completed. Park Corporation has also completed a hydrant flow test to determine if a fire pump is needed on the new high school, And we can say with confidence that we won't need a fire pump for the automatic fire suppression system that we're designing for the school. So that'll, again, help save some cost on the project. And we talked a little bit about the cost estimating process. There's a number of advantages when you design a new school, especially a new model school. You have the potential for more compact and efficient building layout, as I talked about earlier. There's also a potential for much more energy efficiency within the building because of reduced building envelope and exposure. The building's much more compact and tight and stackable so that we can reduce the heat gain and the heat loss during seasonal extremes. There's also an opportunity for appropriately sized classrooms. As I talked about earlier, the existing high school has severely undersized classrooms. So a new facility allows you to really design these spaces to meet the current standards and size requirements, which you couldn't do in a renovation addition project. There's also an opportunity to reorganize the building layout, which we'll talk about when we discuss the floor plan and its efficiencies. Franklin had an educational visioning session completed with another consultant, and they presented that visioning process to us. Prior to selecting AI3 as a firm, they gave all the model school architects that access to that document and asked the architects to really take a hard look at that and see how the model could be adapted to incorporate those visioning concepts within the new floor plan. And it was extremely challenging because they wanted to divide the school into eight clusters. And traditionally what's done in high schools is departmentalization and departmental teaching. What that forced us to do is to revamp the entire classroom organization, such that on the second floor, actually here, the third floor, the building's broken down into four distinct clusters that include six classrooms, a science lab, a project team breakout space, and collaboration space that includes teacher planning, a small group instruction, special education, and applied project labs here. So we'll have a cluster at each corner of the second and third floor plan with shared core space in between and on the ends. And we felt that that was really responsive to the visioning statement that they adopted with Locker and Associates, and we were pretty proud of the fact that we were able to accomplish that in this model program. With that, I could turn it over to questions if you want to.
Be sure to listen to other parts of the series. Part 1, in case you missed it, included the introduction and evolution of the model school and invitation to Franklin. Part 3 and the remaining will cover the various segments of the questions and answers. And while this podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, I can use your help. How can you help, you ask? If you like this, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like this, please let me know. This feedback loop is important, and I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is entitled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tintype Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy.